blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 350, stanzas 1 through 4. With joy I heard my friends exclaim, "Come, let us in God's temple meet. Within thy gates, O Zion blessed, shall ever stand our willing feet." 1 through 4 of Psalter number 350. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, the first 8 verses. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 8. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah chapter 42. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Art Visser from the Calgary congregation, who is in the hospital this morning and needs surgery today. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who knowest everything, also the inmost recesses of the heart of each and every one of us in this morning hour, when we have come together in thy house, and then in a very special way, for when thou wilt give it in this morning, then there is to be administered at that institution of thy holy supper, which thou hast given unto thy church, and which thou hast commanded be commemorated, even till thou dost come again to judge the quick and the dead. And then we have evidence of thy care and of thy keeping for thy church, and not only for the sheep, but also for the lambs, not only for the fathers, but also for the young men and for the children, in that way of true saving faith, wherein we have evidence of thy care concerning not only the state, but also the standing of thy people, wherein thou wilt comfort them, wherein thou wilt strengthen them as they travel through the meshech of the wilderness of this world, as they must fear so often, and as they are attacked day by day and week by week under the assaults of the prince of darkness, concerning that most necessary work which thou hast begun in their soul, so that they have to say so often, is it right with me? 'Tis the point I long to know. Am I his or am I not? And that thou wilt give unto thy people the evidences of thy death, the evidences of the giving of thyself for the most guilty, for the most wretched and polluted ones, for those that have sinned themselves on the outside of thy favor and thy communion. And then, Lord, thou wilt do as thy disciples did beseech of thee. And when they did ask, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, it is a work of thee, and it must be also upheld by thee. Oh, then wilt thou open the eyes of all thine, and may it be that those whose eyes have gone open, and who yet who yet see with so much dimness, and who are not able to embrace thee as they desire, those who have not that life that they desire before thee, or who must confess that it is all so full of wretchedness and so full of sin. Lord, wilt thou give them in this day a little eye to behold thee, and who that thou art in and through him whom thou hast sent into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Lord, that is the most difficult lesson. Then that people cannot learn it, except thou wilt reveal thyself. Because that old covenant that is so bound upon our hearts. And Lord, then we are continually in that miry pit, or in that clay, wherein if we remain, we will sink away in it. Oh, that thou would remember them then, those who cannot live without thee. Those who cannot make it right with thee, and those who may come into that impossibility, Lord, wilt thou deliver, and wilt thou open something this day, oh, that thou thyself may give thy children to come in truth before thy countenance, oh, thou dost say, that all that the Father giveth unto me, they shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, instruct then also the little ones. Lord, wilt thou give them also, when thou hast brought them into thy kingdom, and when the desires they do go out after thee, that thou may lead them also further in the way of thy grace, that the time may also come for them one day, and that they also may be given to gather with thy church about thy holy supper. That time may come one day when thou wilt also invite them, and when they may receive that freedom. Look upon all thy children. Oh, could it be in this day that they may be given to look away from all that is of self, that thou would strip away all false foundations, and that thou may give them to be founded and to be grounded upon that only rock, Christ Jesus. And then that they may receive that rest of that Sabbath day, that is a little bit here below, to be experienced by thy people, and a rest that will be accomplished in that never-ending eternity. Lord, when we deceive ourselves, when we are walking over this world with a hypocritical face, that thou may keep us then this morning, because it is the bread of the children. But Lord, we have such deceitful hearts, and then it is so necessary that we also, as thy servant, may be given that wisdom to take forth the precious from the vile. O Lord, wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand, that we may deal honestly and uprightly with the souls of this flock, over whom thou hast made us overseer. And wilt thou give to us that love and that concern, that those that think to have what really they do not have, Lord, wilt thou take it away this morning, and that thou would make them upright for the first time before thee, that thou would show them, and that they stand without, that thou would show that they miss that great portion, and that a cry may be born, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then there will be hope. Lord, remember all those that have no concern. Be with them also this day. When there has been, in the week that has gone by, a carelessness about all these things, when the world has taken our thought and our heart, then we come this morning before thy presence. Lord, could it please thee then to break that heart? That thou may plant that holy jealousy this day for that portion that may be seen of thy people, and that that may be born a true hunger and a true thirst after the communion with that true and the living God. Look upon the children. Look upon the young people. They may not come to the table of the Lord, but Lord, thou can give them the substance thereof. When they are sitting in their seat, thou dost say, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise. May it be also in the midst of us, and that they also this day may not be without a blessing. Remember all the afflicted, those that mourn, in the days in which we are living. Those that have laid loved ones so recently in the grave, Lord, wilt thou care for them? Give them a blessing this day in thy house. And wilt thou comfort as thou alone art able? Look upon him who must receive surgery this day. Lord, wilt thou take away the pain in his body? Wilt thou give the doctors wisdom and skill? And wilt thou guide them on this day? And may thou be for him that great physician, to heal not only his body but also his soul this day, that he may yet rejoice when thou wilt be a sanctuary in that place which thou hast driven him, when he may not go up unto thy house. Be with all those that must be in their homes or in nursing homes or in places where they are cared for by others. Wilt thou care for their soul this day? And wilt thou bless the means that are used for recovery of body and mind to all that are afflicted? Be with handicapped ones, blind, lame, deaf, and dumb ones. Wilt thou look upon us then together? And wilt thou be in our midst this morning? Lord, that all things may be done decently and in order in thy house. Oh, when we are called to do a work that is too high for us. When we must administer a holy sacrament. Lord, it was a sacrament that was administered by thee, who art the Son of God, who art that divine being, and thou hast placed sinful men to stand there and to administer that holy table. Lord, what are we? Oh, how can we? Lord, wilt thou go before us, that it may be for the good of thy church, that it may be done decently and in order, that there may be food, Lord, in thy house, for those who do hunger and thirst, that there truly may be this day thy presence, that man may fall away, and that it may be experienced that thou art in the midst of us, feelingly, believingly, to the glory, to the honor of thy most holy and worthy name, for the benefit, for the welfare of the poor in spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, and 10. As thirsts the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs the living God to see, longs the living God to see. We announce, the Lord willing, that there will be a members meeting this coming Wednesday, December 13th. Duos have been set by the consistory for Elder Mr. John Moons and Mr. Martin Niels. For Deacon, Mr. Hank Arnold Dusen, and Mr. Henry Van Sluis. Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, and 10. My food, but Congregation, our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, Isaiah chapter 42, thereof the first verse. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. So far, the words of our text. Beholding the servanthood of Christ. First, the service which he rendered unto his Father. And second, the delight which he brought to his Father. Beholding the servanthood of Christ. First, the service that he rendered unto his Father. And second, the delight which he brought to his Father. We read here, congregation, behold. What is that? That is to see something with attention. That is to consider something very, very diligently. Well, that was now the work that we had to do in the week that is gone by us. That was to consider something very, very attentively and to look at something very, very closely. And that is that our eyes, they were to be directed within. That we had to examine ourselves. How was that now? In the week that is gone by? Or has there not been any care or any concern? Has there not been hardly a thought over that which has to take place in this morning hour? Then we would say to you that you ought to remain in your seat because the supper of the Lord that is to be done in the way of self-examination. But is there now a people who may have examined themselves and congregation? And then we read here the word, behold. And what did you now behold? When you had to examine yourself, did you then behold a changed life? Oh, that you are not able to go on with that wicked world anymore. Is there a people that may behold a life of obedience before the Lord? A walking in uprightness. Is there now a people that may behold a walking according to not only some but all the commandments of the Lord? What may you behold now when you have looked very closely at your life? Is there a people that may behold the fear of God within their heart? Is there a people that may behold sincerity in your religion? Is there a people that may behold love to God and your neighbor? May you behold true thankfulness unto God. when we are now honest this morning, what is our answer, congregation, to these questions? When we have that answer that you say, yes, that is now my life. That you say, yes, that is now what I behold. Then, congregation, we have to warn you. Then we have to warn you very earnestly. And we have to warn you in great love in this morning that you ought not to come to the table of the Lord. And why not? Because what did the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then he says, go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. And when you have beheld sincerity, and when you have beheld a life of uprightness before the Lord, and when you have beheld a life of keeping of the Lord's commandments, then you are like the Pharisees. And what need have you, congregation, then for the table of the Lord? What need have you then for Him? Who is that servant of the Father? No, then you have a life of your own service, and that is good enough. Behold, oh, what does the Lord make His people to behold? When the Lord opened the eyes of David, and when the Lord said to David, thou art the man, then he beheld no uprightness. No, then David, he says, I ever see my sin. Oh, what did the Lord give to that woman, that Samaritan woman, to behold? When he opened with one word and declared her whole life, that you, the man thou now hast, is not thy husband. Then what did she see? Then she saw only a life of sin. The things that the Lord gives that people to behold, they are not the things which bring them on the inside of the people, but they are the things that bring them on the outside. Then they behold transgression. Then they behold iniquity. Then they behold evil. Then they behold pride. Then they behold rebellion. Then they behold hypocrisy. Then they behold inconsistency in their whole life. Then they behold unfaithfulness. Then they behold emptiness. Then they behold worldliness. Then they behold carnality. Then they behold vanity. And then they see the results of that sin. And what is the result of that sin? That I am separated from that God, my Maker and my Creator. Then they feel that grief because of that separation. But they see His wrath. They see His displeasure. They behold His justice. They behold His righteousness. They behold His holiness. And that they can never come into that presence of God. Oh, then they behold an impossibility. Why? Because of that law that is within my members. And now it is to this people that the Lord is also giving to behold something else in their life. What is that? What does the Lord say here? He says, behold my servant. Congregation, is there now a people who may ever be given to behold something of his servant? Ruth, she may unknowingly gather upon the fields of that Boaz. She may gather behind the reapers. And she may gather there in herself as an outsider, as an heathen woman, as a Gentile. But she may gather there unknowingly upon his fields. And when she was gathering there one day, oh, then he came. And then she beheld him. Although she did not know who that he was. Although he was so ignorant of him. Yet what did she experience? Oh, she experienced how kindly that he spoke unto her. Even though that she was not like unto one of his handmaidens. And that was for her the greatest wonder. Did it make her an Israelite? Did it bring her on the inside of the people of the Lord that she could count herself among that number? No. No. No, then she had so much to learn about him. And yet she beheld him. And yet she experienced something of that kindness, that loving kindness of that Boaz to such an unworthy one as she was, a Moabitess. Oh, when we would say to that woman, oh, do you know him? No. No, she would say, I don't know him. No, she went home and she went to her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law had to tell her who that he even was. And yet, oh, she was not ignorant of the grace of that Boaz. When she may experience his kindness to such a one as she was, a Moabitess. And now that woman, he invited to come and to eat, to take of the bread, and to dip the morsel in the vinegar. Oh, that woman, when he had not said it, when he had not specifically invited that woman to come, oh, then she had never dared. But when he spake, and when he invited her, oh, then she may come. And then she may sit at the table. Behold, my servant. Is that not now the purpose of that holy supper? Where the tokens of that broken body and that shed blood are laid out before his church. The purpose, what? To give further instruction. To direct the hearts of those who know
so little of Him. Although they are not complete strangers of Him. No, a complete stranger may not do it in remembrance of Him. Then they have nothing to remember. Oh, then they had better wait. But now that bride in the Song of Solomon, what does she say? She says, my beloved, he is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, and he showeth himself through the lattice. No, that was not that full embracing of that bridegroom. It was not even a full sight of him, but only a little glimpse of him for just a moment when he looked through that window, and then all of a sudden then he was gone again. Oh, just a little view, just a little entrance into that work of free and sovereign grace. And in through that only begotten Son of God. Oh, then there is not just a dry doctrine in the mind of that people. But oh, then they can remember that moment. How sweet that moment was for one that is so black as they were. And how that this did bring them into that little hope that there was a possibility also for me, hidden from the wise and from the prudent and revealed unto the babes. Oh, the beginning of the drawing forth of the heart out after that blessed greater Solomon, that they might know more of him, that he might reveal himself unto their soul. And that is now the purpose. The purpose of the administration of that Holy Supper, even unto the end of the world, to give further instruction in that way of grace. And how? Behold my servant. That was already in the time of the Old Testament, in which Isaiah may prophesy, saved by that same grace. But for them, that was still in the future. And then that people given to long for the fulfillment of that promise. Behold my servant. That is to a people who cannot behold him. To a people who have so little eye to see him. To a people for whom that second person that he is so hidden for them. But when the Lord is increasing that self-knowledge, then step by step, then bit by bit, then point by point, then the Lord is revealing more and more for the sake of the hope of that people, of that blessed mediator. Behold, my servant who is speaking, that is the Father. And then he speaks about his own Son. And then he makes that only begotten Son so suitable in the heart and in the life of his own children. Because what do that people see in themselves? Oh, that goes back, congregation, to paradise. There they lived in that blessed service of the Lord. That is now the desire of the heart of that soul in that new birth. And what must they experience in their life? That they have left that service. That it is nothing but a disobedience and a transgression of all the commandments of the Lord. And that they have become servants to sin, servants to Satan, servants to self and to this world. Behold, my servant. Oh, what does the Father do? Instead of casting that people forever and forever away from his face. Oh, then he says, behold my servant. then he is showing to that people that he has made a way, that when the fullness of time was come, that he has sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. Behold my servant, and his active obedience in the keeping of every jot and every tittle of that law, which you were cursed because you would not fulfill. Oh, behold, the passive obedience, giving himself even unto death. Oh, behold, behold my servant, when he is standing in the place of disobedience, when he is standing in the court of the law, and where the disobedient are brought, oh, behold him stripped, behold him wounded, behold him receiving the sentence of the guilty one, behold him being brought out to that cursed tree and being hung in that cursed place as the most wicked and as the most guilty one in the whole world. Behold, behold my servant whom I uphold. Who can fathom what that Son of God did have to endure for the sake of his church? That he had to be upheld, we read, by his Father in his human nature. For the Old Testament church, and then that was still in the future, and yet congregation, no doubt of the completion of that work of the Son of God. Why not? The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And then he has received the upholding of his Father, then he could not be overcome. He could not be discouraged. He would not faint. Oh, that human nature, in all the trueness of that human nature, that would shrink away from all the suffering that was coming, that awful suffering, as our human nature. Oh, then it is seen that human nature was so true. And yet the Father, in upholding of that Son, he has, when his face was set to Jerusalem, then he has upheld him, that he has not drawn back. And thus, we read of the delight in our second thought that he has given unto his Father. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. Mine elect, chosen of the Father, specifically for this work. For what work? For the salvation. For the salvation of his church. Chosen. Not Moses, not Joshua, and not King David, not King Solomon, no, but chosen, that is, the Son of God. And why? He as the elect of God. Why? Because congregation of his arm, because of his ability, because of his might, because of his strength. Do you need it? Or what did he have to do? What was the salvation of the church? It was to save from sin. From sin. Is that what we need to be saved from? And do you need a mighty arm to save you from sin? Or what was to save from death? It was to save from Satan, the prince of the power of the air. To save from him who we read in the word of God that he had the power of death, and thus elect, mine elect, that one the Son of God, that divine being who had the power, we read, through death to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and so to bruise his head and to rob hell. Mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. It is the only begotten Son of God, in whom he says, I am well pleased. With Adam, he was not well pleased. With Adam, he was not delighted. Sent him out of my communion. Why? All created to serve me. And you have left my service with his people. With his people, he is not well pleased. Oh, they are not well pleased either. With his people, he is not well pleased. He cannot be. Why not? Because they are of the stock of their father. They are of the stock of that first Adam. And the service, that is the service of the world, that is the service of all that is outside of God. But the Lord, the Father, he says, behold, mine elect, in whom my soul, the soul of the Father, takes delight. Delight. There is none. There is none in the whole world, from the first day unto the last, that can give delight unto the Father, except that Son of God. Or he says himself, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. My law, thy law, is within my heart. The delight of the Son in the service of the Father that has given such a delight unto his Father. Oh, delight. A delight in the payment of that price for his church. A delight in that obedience, even unto death. A delight in the bringing in of that new life. That he has fulfilled everything necessary that life may be given for his church. A delight in receiving his people. A delight in receiving his church once again unto himself that had left him and that would never return to him again. And a delight of the Father in the service of his Son to bring his children, his elect, to receive him unto himself as sons and as daughters of God. And now that delight he publishes unto his people. And he shows to his church what it is that he delights in. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And then he would have that church also to behold him, to behold him the same as he beholds him, to behold him with delight. That is the reason that that holy supper that is laid out for that church of God, that he would set before them in the tokens of that bread and wine and set it before their eyes that they may see. That they may behold him in those tokens, and that they may see him in whom the Father has such a delight, and that they may be satisfied in the satisfaction which he has brought unto his father. Behold, my servant, I have put my spirit upon him. Oh, when the Father, he says, mine elect. Oh, then we see that it is not only the Son, but the salvation of the church has also the interest of the Father. Now we see again, not only the Father and the Son, but how that also the Holy Spirit is concerned in the salvation of his church. I have put my Spirit upon him. Thus, the blessed triune God involved in the salvation of that church. That was in the meriting of that salvation when he has given unto the Son of God the Spirit, we read, without measure, put upon him, resting upon him. Why? To qualify him for his offices of prophet, priest, and king. To qualify him to be the mediator, the elect of his people. Also in the application, what did the Lord Jesus say in the application? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, that is that gospel that is preached in a visible manner also in this day. And then there is something so fitting. There is something so fitting for the poor. So fitting for the captives. So fitting for those that are bound at that table. And therefore may the Lord give. That such may be brought unto his table in all their guilt, in all their wretchedness, in all their misery, in all their emptiness, that they may be given to behold whom the Father beholds, that servant of the Father, in whom he is well pleased, in whom he delighteth. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of the Holy Supper of the Lord, which can be found on page 60 or 136 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, and that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself,
And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, that we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end, for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine his own conscience, whether he proposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and hath firmly resolved henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are by the grace of the Holy Spirit sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore, we rest assured that no sin nor infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promise made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, and that he assumed our flesh and blood, and that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ in his last supper took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we, by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body, in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only showed us in word, but also in very deed towards one another." Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost and with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 384, stanzas 1 through 5. O Lord, my inmost heart and thought, thy searching eye doth see. Where'er I rest, where'er I go, my ways are known to thee. Psalter 384, stanzas 1 through 5.
Thank you.
congregation, a week of preparation, a week of self-examination now lies behind us. And in the way of the providence of the Lord, and in obedience to His own command, even to the ends of the earth, and then at the table of the Lord, the table of the King, is set before us as a congregation. And that table that has now been made ready to receive those who are called. And whom does He call? Congregation, we read in our text, "Behold my servant." Then He is not our servant. He is not your servant. He is not my servant. But He is the servant of His Father. And it is His delight and it is His good pleasure to do the will of His Father. "Behold my servant." Well, that is now the desire of every newborn soul, that is to serve Him, that is to keep all the commandments of the Lord, and that is the desire to live to the honor of the Lord and to the glory of the Lord, and that they would no longer transgress. And yet, what must they experience in their life that they are not able, that in their heart that does not lie that true service of the Lord? No, but that they are disobedient to the commandments of the Lord. And now we can read of one to whom the Lord Jesus has spoken, and that is to a Martha. Martha had in her heart such a love for the Lord Jesus, or we may believe that it was a love planted by that true grace of God, and then it was her desire to serve. And yet, congregation, oh, may there be yet a people that have come to the end of all your service. And that may find that all my service does not bring me any closer unto God. No, that I need another service, that I need that service of that servant who was obedient to His Father in all things. Are there now a people who may have in their life a little glimpse of that servant, that you may say, that you may behold Him, even if it is but for a moment, that you might see Him in His blessed service, in His blessed obedience, and that that service of that servant that has become your all and in all. Oh, then our service is done, and then He may receive all the honor, and He may receive all the glory. Congregation, there is yet room. Are there no more? You know what we read here? In the next verse we read, "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause His voice to be heard in the street." That is the way that the Son of Man came. Did not come making all kinds of commotion in this world, crying and lifting and to make Himself known. No. Oh, the hypocrite. He wants to come before the face of all men. If that is your desire, oh, then stay where you are. But I read of a woman in the Bible. Oh, I think she wished that nobody was around. All those people. Oh, if she could only come herself. Oh, she even wished and that the Lord Jesus would never see her. But all she needed but to touch the hem of his garment. And all that need broke through. And then it was the intention of the Lord to bring it out into the open. Oh, a friends, is there yet one who may come before God in this morning hour and that may appeal to God even as Peter in front of the disciples, his whole life testified against him. Then they had to say, Peter, there is nothing true. And he could understand that. And yet, then he may say, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Congregation, is there yet more otherwise? And then we will close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is given for the complete remission of all our sins. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. What is a Gentile? Gentile, he is one that is not of the chosen of Israel. He is one that lay on the outside of that peculiar people. He is one that did not share in the promises of God. He is one that was without the blessings of the claim of that true people, the Gentiles. Gentiles, that is in a natural way also us, because we are not of the Jews, and we are not of that nation of God's people when they were here upon this world. But is it not so that the Lord has also given you to know something of what a Gentile is, and that you also had to be included in that word Gentile, and that you, as one that had sinned yourself on the outside of that communion, and therefore you could not be a partaker of those blessings of the Lord, that you did not deserve to be one of that people, and that you remained on the outside of that sweet communion that your heart so desired, a Gentile. And what do we read here? And he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. What is that? Judgment to the Gentiles. Yes, then you must say that you also, in a very small way, must say that you know also something of this, that you have seen something of that judgment that so belonged to you as a Gentile, one that was one that had sinned himself out of that communion, one that had brought himself into that awful state apart from God. And then to come into the judgment of God, who could answer a single question of 1,000 before the judgment seat of that holy and that righteous God. Oh, the judgment of the Gentiles, how much fear by times has that not given in your soul? How much trembling, how has that not brought you upon your knees by times in your life? That judgment would not be brought upon you that you so justly deserve from that holy and that righteous God, the judgment of a Gentile. And yet, what do we read here? Oh, we read actually here of a different judgment to the Gentiles. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, and when he was going through Samaria, then we read that the Samaritans did not accept him. And what was the thought of his disciples? They said, Lord, shall we then call fire down from heaven that it may consume them? The Lord Jesus says, you do not know what spirit you are of, because the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but he has come to save them. Oh, what a difference. What an instruction for those disciples. Oh, what an instruction also for us. Judgment to the Gentiles. What is that judgment that the Lord would bring forth for the Gentiles? Oh, that is, that he would stand in the judgment, that he would stand in the place of the Gentiles,
and that he would stand in the place where the Gentile ought to stand, and where he will come in the court of the law, and where he will be condemned of his Father through that earthly judge, when all the sin of the Gentiles that was placed also upon him, then it was also those Gentiles that may be received, when all the iniquity laid upon him it was paid upon that cursed tree. Wonder of wonders. Then it was not only for others, but then it was also for that most wretched, for the ones that were on the outside and deserve to be on the outside forever and forever. That is now the place that the Lord will bring his own church. Why? That he may receive the glory, and that they may behold that servant, and that they may see him in all his mediatorial beauty, and that they may rest in that rest of the Father, and that they may delight in that delight of the Father, and that they may, in expectation of that eternal, awful abyss, in separation from God, even as a Mephibosheth, having come before the king, in expectation of being cast away, in expectation of being sent to death, did hear of that judgment, did hear of that sentence from the king, and that he shall eat always at my table. And then the glory, all then the humility, all then the praise that is in the heart of that man. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? May the Lord give to behold that servant, and may the Lord give that confession in your heart by renewal. Let us sing Psalter 426, stanzas 3 and 4. And afterwards, then we ask the communicants to return to their seats. Psalter 426, stanzas 3 and 4. I cried, deliver thou my soul, O Lord. Jehovah heard, I pledge him my devotion. The Lord is just, his grace wide as the ocean. In boundless mercy, he fulfills his word. 3 and 4 of Psalter 426.
Wide as the ocean.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at His table, let us therefore jointly praise His holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, who hath not spared His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, and given us all things with Him. Therefore God commendeth therewith His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than, being now justified in His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thy infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that Thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain His holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of Thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with Him, through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 427, the first stanza. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is He. His mercy excellent in fullness endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness and say, Exalt His majesty. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Stanza 1 of Psalter 427. Blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.